Welcome, my friends, to the That's Ball Folks podcast. I'm your host, Josh Reynolds. This is episode 8, and boy, do we have a doozy. Kelly Oubre Jr. is going to be the main focus of this entire episode. Well, not really the whole episode, but just what we saw last night at the Clippers game. Submitted himself in Philadelphia sports lore for forever. And we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the Sixers. They beat the Clippers. They lose to the Kings. And then they lose to the Clippers last night. Embiid's getting closer, we hope, we think. We're being told, maybe. Draymond Green has Steph Curry crying, literally. Caitlin Clark hate is just becoming way too much. Gambling in sports turns out is bad. Who would have ever thought that? I had a fun little Pat McAfee experience, Pat McAfee show experience, which we'll talk about. People think that I am the wide receiver Josh Reynolds in the NFL, which is fun. We'll talk about that as well. And the Sweet 16 is this weekend. We will dive into that and all its glory. But let's start with the Sixers. And let's start with last night. It was one of the uglier games, honestly, in recent memory, and had one of the craziest last minutes ever. As I referenced earlier, just an all-time Kelly Oubre Jr. game. So we'll recapture everything here. He fouls Kawhi on an and-one late in the game. Awful decision on his part. You just no need to foul there. Let him go. Tie the game up. Whatever. He attacks the rim, however, on the next possession. Tons of contact. No call. Kelly Oubre follows it up, going immediately to the refs, hitting them one by one with while pointing the whole hand point. I'm not going to swear. I promised a couple people that I wouldn't swear for this segment. So he hits him with, you're a B-word, you're a B-word, you're a B-word. Got it? Your mom's a B, your dad's a B, your grandma's a B. Just unbelievable. I've watched the video. I'm not exaggerating. I probably watched it 50 times since it happened. Just can't get enough of it. And one thing I noticed, if you watch Tyrese Maxey, he realizes he catches himself in the middle of this moment and starts laughing and tries to pull away Kelly Oubre Jr. while he's going at the refs. Just incredible stuff. Look, he's going to pay quite the fine for that. He might not ever get another call from the refs ever again. Obviously, you want to win the game. But that said, if losing last night gave us that Kelly Oubre Jr. moment for forever, maybe I'll take it because it's truly an all-timer. Like, just incredible. Oh, just phenomenal stuff. And look, there's not even any arguing. You can read his lips perfectly. You know exactly what he's saying. He also, you know what he said because he took the time to apologize after the game. And I'll let Kelly say it himself. Here he is post-game.
Well, first and foremost, heated a moment. This is an intense basketball game, of course. And, you know, we're not perfect. The refs aren't perfect. I want to apologize for just losing my cool because that's something I try to work on each and every day and try to represent God in the best way I possibly can, and that wasn't it. So, you know, I just ask for forgiveness. But I saw Coach Nurse getting riled up, and if our coach is going to fight for us and, you know, he's going there, then I'm right behind him. So, but at the end of the day, it wasn't cool. So, you know, I'll take whatever penalties come with that and, you know, you have to move on. But I got to be better in a sense.
Do you think you got a shot off, or do you think there was contact before it tripped your hands?
Well, the thing is, there was absolute contact, but they were calling those calls for those guys. And, you know, they were getting and-ones, and they were changing the game in that aspect. And then we get down to our side, and it's like they didn't even see any contact. But I barely touched them on the other end, and they still called it. So it was just, like, uneven in a sense. But, like I'm saying, I'm not here to, you know, get on any refs or any decisions because they're human beings as well as I am. So, hey, if they don't think there was contact, then there was no contact.
Did they give you an explanation on the out-of-bounds clause?
No, they're selective with the explanation. They said that this is what we're doing, and we're going to keep it moving from here. And the ball didn't go off me, but, you know, the review center said that it did. So, yeah, they changed the call.
On that same note about that out-of-bounds call, I've actually got a few things to say about the officiating last night. And this out-of-bounds call. They call it out of bounds. Paul George knocks it out of Kelly Oubre Jr.'s hands, and Ty Lue decides to challenge it. The review literally lasted 5 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. Way too long. Number one, no review should ever take that long. It's horrible for the flow of the game. It's horrible for the fans who are there. It's horrible for the fans who are watching. It's just horrible for basketball in the game, period. Two, if it does take you that long to review the whole quote-unquote clear and conclusive evidence that's required to overturn the call, that's automatically thrown out the window, right? Because if it is clear and conclusive, then that review should last 30 seconds to a minute. Horrific. So the refs, like Kelly said, they decide, hey, we're just going to swallow our whistles on the last couple possessions. One of them, Kawhi blocks Kelly Oubre Jr.'s shot in between the backboard and the rim, which ends up being a jump ball. But that Kawhi clearly is riding him with his left forearm. No call. So jump ball. Sixers end up winning the jump. Kelly Oubre is fouled by Paul George at the end of the game. No call. And guess what? The refs go immediately into the locker room after getting berated by Nick Nurse and Kelly Oubre Jr. They go right into the locker room. They check the film. They see it. They literally see it was a foul. And they say, ah, yeah, it was a foul. We were wrong. You guys were right. And that's it. Then the report comes out. And everybody now knows what we already knew, that it was a foul. What a joke. I feel like the refs league-wide have been just, like, horrific this year. But tonight they were on full display. And on national TV, too. So good for them. Super fun. The Sixers, man. Brutal loss. All jokes aside. Really bad loss. And they find themselves in a pretty brutal spot. Currently sitting in eighth. They're half game behind the Heat for seventh seed. And they're a game and a half behind Indy for the sixth. Maxey was great. He's always great. Buddy Hield actually had a really nice bounce back game. One of his better games in a Sixers uni. And Mo Bamba. Shout out Mo one time. He was also great. Maybe I need to just start talking shit on a I promise I wouldn't swear. On a different Sixers. I just need to start bashing Sixers every episode if they're going to bounce back like that. I don't know. Brutal loss, though. Really bad. And that leads us to Embiid. So, obviously, to have any chance at a playoff run, you're going to need Embiid. You're not just going to need Embiid. You're going to need a healthy Embiid. And not honestly, not even just a healthy Embiid. You're going to need an Embiid who's in shape. And that's going to be tricky. Woj reported yesterday that it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And there's a group of people who tend to agree with Kendrick Perkins and think that Embiid shouldn't come back at all, which I don't understand one bit. Why would you not want him to come back? Seriously. Like, a health thing, maybe, just to be sure? I don't know. But obviously they're not going to bring him back if he's not fully healthy. That's just a dumb thought. I don't understand it. If he's healthy, they bring him back. I don't care if it's for the play-in. You just do it. And I don't think that's some crazy hot take either. But what's next for the Sixers? 9 regular season games left. They go at Cleveland, at Toronto, the Thunder are in Philly, at Miami, at Memphis, at San Antonio, and then they end with 3 straight home games, Pistons, Magic, and Nets. Now look, a lot can change, but 9 games, that's not a lot. And unless Embiid is back like next week, it looks like it's going to be play-in bound for the Sixers, which is kind of fun, I guess. I don't know if you want to say fun, but fun in the sense of like the expectations will be pretty low, so anything that they do will just be enjoyable. It's honestly weird that the playoffs are like here. They're right around the corner. I don't know. Time's scary. It feels like Embiid just got hurt against the Warriors. Like, I don't know. Weird. Time's scary. And speaking of the Warriors, that leads right into Draymond Green. This dude, this isn't anything new that we already didn't know, but he is the worst. I legitimately want to know if there are actual any Draymond Green fans out there, because I don't think there are. I don't think there can be. I think even Warrior fans, they don't like him. They just tolerate him. And obviously, if he's playing for your team, you like root for him and want him to do well, but there's no shot they like him. The dude last night gets 2 texts in less than 4 minutes to start the game, gets tossed. It literally made Steph Curry cry. Can you imagine how bad shit must be over there right now to make Steph Curry cry? I can only imagine how frustrated he is. I mean, think about it. Klay has basically lost the ability to play basketball at the level he did. Chris Paul is riding off into the sunset of his career. Draymond has officially lost his mind. He's leading a young team outside of those guys, and he's still finding ways to win games. Like last night, he hits a deep three, does the night-night thing, but then he goes right to the bench and starts like punching stuff. He's clearly frustrated, and Draymond clearly has real problems. Like, all jokes aside, he's nuts. Nuts. I saw a tweet that said even Dennis Rodman knew where the line was, and Draymond doesn't. It's like, he's unlike anything we've ever seen. Just psychotic, and the worst. And his act is so old, he keeps going at it, all in a day's work, and it drives me nuts. I do not like Draymond Green. And my brother, Jared, pointed out a good point. you guys remember Jer. We miss him. We need to have him back on here. But he pointed out something. He's like, look, I didn't even hate Draymond like the rest of it seems like the basketball world did until this year. And this year he has turned everyone against him. I wasn't a Draymond fan, but I was like, he's annoying. I hate him. Absolutely hate him. People are like, oh, he's one of those guys who's on your team if you love him. No, I don't want him on my team. I don't want him anywhere near my team. He does more damage for the team he's on than anything else. Draymond's a nightmare. Get him out. Anyway, let's talk about Caitlin Clark. I mentioned earlier that the hate and the just crap that Caitlin Clark's been getting it's over the edge. It's too much for me. All of this madness I've seen about her literally over the last couple days, maybe the week, it's wild. Everything from calling her a bad role model because she was swearing on camera during a game to her complaining to a ref and her dad yelling at her in the crowd, telling her to chill out. Now they're nitpicking her game and slow-mo clips of her catching and shooting, saying it's a travel. All of it's too much. People are trying too much. The first is thing, let's talk about the swearing first. You know how many athletes are caught on camera swearing during a game in the middle of one of the biggest moments of the game? In one of the biggest games of the season, there's absolutely zero outrage anytime it happens with anybody else. But Caitlin Clark talks some trash. She tells a girl to shut the F up, and all of a sudden she's this terrible role model or that she doesn't treat people nicely. I saw so many tweets, including from a friend of mine in junior high who was going in on her, saying that she doesn't treat people well and that she's not a good role model, all this nonsense. Look, I can guarantee you that right now, if I tried, I could find multiple videos of LeBron or all of these other athletes swearing while on camera and talking shit to people. Nobody bats an eye. It's stupid. And it's stupid because everyone does it. You know what? I honestly hope that she does it more. I hope that she headbutts the ball out of frustration again. I hope that her dad has to tell her to chill out every single game for the rest of this March Madness tournament until the national championship. I hope that she talks so much shit that Nike has to run another not a role model campaign like they did with Charles Barkley back in the day and do it for Caitlin Clark. Lean into it. I love it. This girl has single-handedly carried women's college basketball for years, especially this year. So miss me with all this. I'm sorry. Whatever. She's unbelievable. If she's going to talk some trash and get caught on camera swearing, give me a break. Well, you grow up, people. And if that bugs you, guess what? Don't watch sports because it happens every single game. Drives me bonkers, man. I don't like these rants. I don't like being negative, but some things just need to be talked about, and this is one of them. Drives me crazy. I want to tell you about the easiest way to get some action on the NBA. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick over or under on your favorite or least favorite player's stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. You can also pick from Rivals, which pits two players against each other for a head-to-head matchup. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use the code TBF24, that's TBF24, and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 by Underdog. Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports.
Our attorney said we needed to create an ad and tell people to stop snorting Buffed. So here you go. Don't snort Buffed. Killer energy too powerful for a can. Made with 3 organic mushrooms, 4 nootropics, B vitamins, electrolytes, and caffeine, and flavors that it doesn't taste like dirt. It's refreshing and delicious. Buffed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Calling all golfers. Do you have a problem three-putting? If you said no, you're either in complete denial or you're just a straight-up liar. Jokes aside, and in all reality, who doesn't? It's inevitable. We're all three-putters. Well, let me introduce you to a new lifestyle brand for golf that is made for us. The 3-Putt Golf Company. Golf gear that meets the average golfer where they are, but looks like a professional brand. The first drop sold out in hours, but more are coming. Keep an eye out for the drop, discounts for That's Ball Folks listeners, giveaways, and more. 3-Putt Golf Company. Everybody 3-putts. Look good doing it. Are you sick of spending time caring for your lawn? Have you spent too much time mowing it or even just keeping it alive? Are you tired of wasting resources and money watering it? If you are like me, the answer is yes to all of those. You should consider artificial grass. Beehive Turf out of northern Utah will transform your yard into looking beautiful all year round. Check out Beehive Turf on Instagram. Give them a call today for a free quote. Beehive Turf, take the sting out of caring for your lawn. One other thing I wanted to mention, I know I got to backtrack a couple topics ago, but I forgot to talk about this, and I think it's really cool. Watching Tyrese Maxey and James Harden battle it out, first off, the media was really trying to push this James Harden return to Philly, which I get it, it's a topic, whatever. The Sixers fans kind of booed him a little bit every time he touched the ball. There was nothing crazy. But Maxey blew by James Harden. Like, James Harden's not a great defender by any means, but my goodness. Maxey is so much faster than him, and that was very apparent. But post-game, somebody asked James Harden like his thoughts on Tyrese Maxey. And again, watching Maxey play this year, you can see that, okay, this dude has learned a lot. He's picked up a lot from the year he had with James Harden. Obviously, that mentorship, which was fantastic, and great for Maxey's growth and for his game. But I thought Harden's post-game answer was pretty cool. So give it a listen.
Man, it's a problem. I'm very, very proud of him. Like, he's very, very confident. He has an opportunity to make the mistakes and grow. And obviously, he's a first-time All-Star. But just, he works his butt off, as I said, you know, while I was here. You know, he puts the work in, so the results are going to show. I'm extremely proud of him. And, he'll continue to get better. He'll continue to grow. And he'll be a problem for a very, very long time in this league.
Again, just cool to hear from Harden himself, who, again, played such a pivotal role in Maxey's growth. I loved it. Okay, let's talk about this, and we'll touch into some other topics here. But how about this sports gambling deal going on? Everything from Shohei Ohtani and his translator apparently stealing $4.5 million from him and using it to place illegal bets with a bookie who was already under federal investigation. But now people are like, wait, was it Ohtani really betting? And then translator's a fall guy? What's going on there? Lots going on. And then how about Michael Porter Jr.'s brother who plays for the Toronto Raptors? His story is that he played two different games and where he got subbed out way early because one of them he felt sick and one of them he got like poked in the eye, or he said he did or something. And obviously when you don't play that long, all of your unders hit. And apparently those two games where he came out of the game early, he was – how do I word this? They were the highest bet on games for all of his unders. Look, if you're betting on Michael Porter Jr.'s brother on anything, you have real problems. However, if those are like the most popular bets and to bet on him for all of the overs and it happens twice and he comes out, there's something going on there. The NBA opened an investigation about it. That's not going to end well. They talked to Bruce Brown, who is just like, yeah, I'm just praying for the guy. I'm like, that's not good. Here's my whole thing with all of this. The Ohtani thing, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, hell, we can even talk about Pete Rose. Everything. All these NFL guys who get suspended for all of these bets they placed in the past. It is wild to me that all of the professional sports leagues are sponsored by sports betting apps. They plug them in as many places as possible. There's even a report that NBA is going to have like live betting that you can do while you're watching League Pass. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Of course people are going to get in trouble for sports betting, especially athletes, when it's everywhere. Again, I understand it's a business. I understand that. But you've got to take a step back and look at this and think, okay, this is a little ridiculous, right? There's no way I'm the only one who feels that way. Again, like, it's this is the tip of the iceberg. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse. Anyway, I don't know. And, that said, go ahead and download Underdog Fantasy and use my code to get a 100% match up to $100. Anyway, it's crazy. For me, a podcast, sports guy, yeah, sports betting's great. But I just don't like how it's plastered all over these leagues. I don't like how they promote it so much. And, like, LeBron makes a post about DraftKings every day. I don't know. A little bit ridiculous. All right. So I gotta talk about this, and we'll slowly get closer to talking about March Madness and the Sweet 16. But I mentioned this last week. I'm traveling for work. I'm doing a trade show. The show ends. I check my phone. All of a sudden, I've got like 21 DMs on Twitter. And I think, oh no, I was hacked. That was my first thought. And then I opened up my DMs and I start scrolling, and everything says like Pat McAfee, bro, Pat McAfee, Pat McAfee, Pat McAfee. I'm like, what's happening? So I click on the first one and it says like, dude, your tweet, Pat McAfee's talking about your tweet on his podcast or on his TV show. And I'm like, what? And so I go to the Pat McAfee show. I'm not following the guy. And I scroll down. It turns out it's the Kaisei Tominaga, Nebraska basketball tweet, where I basically tweeted, those who have listened to this podcast, I've talked about him for a long time, basically tweeted and said, yeah, this dude's going to be a real problem for a long time. And he is going to be like a nationwide name if he goes off game one and Nebraska actually wins a game. And Pat McAfee talked about it, but not only talked about it, he showed some real love, and it was pretty awesome. I'm just going to put the whole clip in here because, yeah, it was amazing. So take a listen.
I opened my phone, and this man named Josh, what was his name?
Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds put out a tweet from SB Nation, and he said, just wait, folks. Just wait. Friday, 6:20, mm-hmm. Nebraska will be playing their first game in the NCAA tournament, and they have a player named Kaisei Tominaga, who they are calling the Japanese Steph Curry.
Yes.
And I have no idea how we have gotten this far into the men's college basketball season without knowing this human exists. Now, there is a chance. It's because he can't really speak much English.
Sure.
He had an interview with Andy Katz, I believe is his name, after a game in the Big Ten tournament. And this is how the interview went.
You were absolutely on fire.
That's right.
What was it like to be just draining those threes in this atmosphere in this Big Ten tournament?
You know, it was great. We have a lot of Nebraska, yes, you know, Husker fans, you know, supporting us. You know, it was great to see the, you know, crowd going on. It was, you know, I just had having a lot of fun over there.
What was your attitude coming into this tournament in terms of the way in which you wanted to make sure you impacted this game?
You know, I just gotta keep moving. Like, I always, you know, every time I step on the court, I always think I gotta do something for the team, for especially the offensively, you know. So I just gotta always think I gotta keep moving on the court when I step on the court. So yeah.
This was one of those games where it didn't feel like you needed a lot of vision. I mean, you were defended, you were step back threes. I mean, this was Curry, Caitlin Clark like. What was it like for you on the floor this evening, where you were able to knock down those threes without a lot of space?
You know, like, especially like my first shot I made at the corner, that was a wide open shot. Like, I feel like every time I make the first shot or, like, you know, like, easy shot, so I think I can get going after that. So that's why, you know, that's the reason probably I get, you know, I was on fire the first half.
How would you describe the kind of joy that you play with?
This is our guy.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe, but I just love playing basketball. I think that's how, you know, how I, you know, come up my emotional stuff, you know, dying the game to, you know, play also with a fan too. So,
all right. So how do you beat Illinois?
You know, we definitely gotta stop the transition, and then we gotta get the rebound too. You know, especially like they have like a Terrence Shannon Jr., so we gotta stop him too.
So what we're saying is, you haven't even seen him play basketball, right? You just heard that interview he just gave. You could feel the energy radiating through the interview.
Oh, yeah.
I just love basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love basketball. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do a lot of talking. Nope. Doesn't do a lot of media interviews. We should know about this guy already.
100%.
The fact that we don't is on us. But look at this guy play hoops. Look at these highlights. It's not just like simple plays.
No.
We're not running spin, cross, back down, step back, splash in eyeball. We're talking, hey, we're talking real.
Oh, yeah.
Electricity every time. Step back.
That's
NBA.
Jack.
Ooh.
Fuck it.
He said, when I make the first one, you know, it feels like I'm going to make the next one. That hoop starts looking like this for Keisei Tominaga, who doesn't even step back. Corner. Face. Bop. Bucket.
Man.
Splash. You think I'm only shooting?
Ooh,
no.
Runner.
Scoopty. Lefty. Layup. Big rebound, guys on the boards, wearing a sick headband. You leave them open for three, or you get stupid. It's done.
Automatic.
So it's about to be the Keisei Tominaga show. And Josh Reynolds is 100% right. At 6:20 on Friday, this Nebraska team tips off. If Keisei does any of this shit,
don't mind if I do.
If he does any of it, if he hits any of those step backs,
got him.
The big looping thing, you're going to hear every human go, Domo Regato, Tominaga. Mm-hmm. We are in on the Japanese Steph Curry.
How cool is that? What a fun surprise to see. Now, look, I'm by no means like a huge Pat McAfee fan, but that was still pretty damn cool. It was pretty awesome. And unfortunately, Keisei Tominaga did not. He played fine, but he started chucking at the end, and Nebraska got blown out by like 20, which was a bummer. But... and they're still looking for their first ever March Madness win, which is crazy. Nebraska has never won a March Madness game. Isn't that something? I was shocked. But it was really cool, and I thought that I would share. Also, I've talked about this before too. Anytime that the NFL wide receiver Josh Reynolds does anything, people tag me on Twitter thinking that I'm him. So I accepted it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start responding as if I am him, and I'm going to have his back a little bit because, look, we're brothers. We share the same name. The least I can do is show him some love. So I got tagged in another one. Some Chiefs fans were talking about, how they missed out on some wide receivers in free agency, and somebody was like, yeah, we missed on Reynolds, and then somebody tagged me and said, no, he's a bum. He dropped balls on the biggest stage, talking about the Lions playoffs last year. So I responded basically and just said, what did I say? I'll read it to you exactly because I thought it was pretty clever. So I hit the guy back with, excuse me for laughing. Again, I just think it's funny. He said, good riddance. Guy choked in the biggest moment. I said, you're afraid to show your face on Twitter, and I make millions of dollars playing the sport that you base your entire personality around. And people, again, think that that's real. But then it started to kind of get some numbers and get some steam, and then people realized pretty quickly, hey, that's not really him. It takes 2 seconds. I mean, click on my name on Twitter, and it will take you right to my profile that says, hey, this is the host of the That's Ball Folks podcast who works with SB Nation Liberty Ballers. You click on my profile picture and see pretty quickly that I'm this little dude with little hands who likes golf. I am not, in fact, Josh Reynolds, the newly signed Denver Broncos wide receiver. But I love it, and I will continue to have his back. Funny enough, my wife bought me, when he played for the LA Rams, my wife bought me a Josh Reynolds Rams jersey. I literally just a week ago got my Detroit Lions Josh Reynolds jersey that showed up, and you bet your ass I'm going to order a Denver Broncos Josh Reynolds jersey. Again, we're brothers. We got the same name. We got to make it happen. And I love it. It's so funny to me that people just don't take the time to click on my profile. Again, takes 2 seconds. That's all you need to do. Okay, let's talk Sweet 16 March Madness basketball, shall we? Because it is getting good. People were kind of mad, I saw online, about like, oh, there's no upsets, or oh, there's no buzzer beaters. Here's the thing. Those of you who watched that Houston game, that was a doozy. Houston, Texas A&M, that was unbelievable. It shouldn't have gone to overtime, but it did, and it was awesome. But when there's not these upsets, it sets up for the exact matchups that we could dream of in the Sweet 16, and that's exactly what we've got. So this is starting today on March 28th. We tip things off with Clemson and Arizona. Arizona looks really, really, really good. Shout out to my guy Skitty and Jer and Ralph. I was able to go in with those guys and attend my very first March Madness games in person. Again, lifelong dream, and they just put the beat down on Dayton. Ended up being a close-ish game. They won by like 10 or so. That was in Salt Lake City, but it was awesome to see. Arizona's for real. They look really good. But also on the other side, how about Clemson? They've come off a win against Baylor. I did not see that happening. So shout out Clemson. That's going to be a fantastic game. You can't be mad at that. That's a great matchup. Both really good teams. Then the next game that tips off, we've got a rematch of last year's national championship. San Diego State and UConn. UConn just looks like the overwhelming favorite. But San Diego State, again, that's going to be a great game. Anytime you get a rematch of the national championship, what else could you ask for? Those are followed by Alabama and North Carolina. I talked about Alabama on this same exact podcast a couple weeks ago, how those dudes score with the best of them. North Carolina obviously is a one seed in their region. They're very good, but Alabama can score and score a lot. Going to be a great game. And then the last game, Illinois versus Iowa State. I like both teams a lot. I have Iowa State winning this, but man, oh man, just dream matchups up and down the list. And then we go to Friday. And we got Duke and Houston, which I cannot wait for. Houston is awesome. Houston is very fun to watch. But me being a Duke guy, you already know that I took Duke. Shout out Courtney, you're listening to this. I had to take Duke again. And speaking of Duke, here's a little segue I want to talk about for a second. Jared McCain, the basketball player for Duke, who people like to crush. I love the dude. Like, genuinely love the guy. And I love him, I think, because he gets such a hard time from everybody else. It's the same thing as this whole Caleb Williams having nice nails in a pink cell phone case. Who the hell cares? He's the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. And a projected first-round pick and Duke standout who sings and makes TikToks and paints his nails in Jared McCann. People are pressed. They hate it. And that makes me love him even more. So shout out Jared McCain, man. I hope he balls out. I hope Duke wins. But jumping down to the next game, we've got NC State and Marquette. Did I not get on here and talk about NC State and how hot they were and how fun they are to watch? They've found themselves in the Sweet 16. They just keep winning ball games, but they're running into a whole different beast than Marquette. Shaka Smart has these dudes playing real hoop. They're playing really good ball. That's going to be another good game. And then another team that I saw just put the beat down on Kansas and Salt Lake City, Gonzaga. They're taking on Purdue and Zach Edey, who drives me nuts, and I don't like watching him play. That's going to be a great game. Gonzaga's for real. They are top to bottom really good. They're deep. And Purdue is just a juggernaut, and they have the juggernaut in Zach Edey. So going to be a good game. And then Creighton and Tennessee. This one, if I had to circle any game that I have to watch and want to watch, it's this one. I am a big Creighton fan. Shout out Travis Ashworth. Dude from Utah, went to Lone Peak, which I hate, rival high school, but that dude is playing ball, little guy, Steven Ashworth, love him, and I'll be watching that, man. How can you not watch that? It's exactly what you want to see. Creighton, very good team. They end up winning in overtime last game, and then Tennessee takes care of business with Duke, and Dalton Knecht just being a stud. Now he's going to be a lottery pick. Love it. There's March Madness, baby, and it is so fun. Again, if you are not a March Madness or college basketball fan, I am sorry for you, but please give it a chance. Watch next season because it is everything. It's the best. And for all of those, all of you listening who jumped in on the March Madness group, we've got a nice sizable payout. The group is good. We got 142 people. There are about 10 of them who didn't pay, which is unfortunate. But the pot's like $1,300. So little breakdown. My buddy Mikhail Zuna is in first. He's got UConn winning it. Shout out my cousin slash nephew, Grayson Whiting. He's in second. He's got Houston winning it. And then we go Adam Pulsifer in third. He's also got UConn. His brother Mooks is tied with my brother-in-law Kyle, Trevor Brown, Jake Taylor. I don't want to go through the whole list, but it's good. Also, I am currently sitting tied for fifth, I think. And I like I said, I've got Duke winning, so I will go as far as Duke goes. If Duke keeps winning games, guess who's gonna make a run for that money? Me. And I can't wait. Anyway, fun weekend. Basketball's the best. We got playoffs coming up. Also, happy opening day for all you baseball fans. How about that? Not for the Phillies because of weather sucks, but that's on Friday. But opening day, baseball's here. Man, where's time going? Terrifying. Anyway, that's all I got. I love all you guys, man. I love doing these. This is so fun. Finally feeling a little bit better with my leg. Not going to keep using that as an excuse for missing recording these podcasts. But when I travel and I've got one leg, it's hard. Anyway, please feel free. Like, subscribe, review. Do all that fun stuff. 1 star, 5 stars, doesn't matter to me. Hope you all have a great weekend. Enjoy the March Madness game. Sweet 16, jumping right into it. Please, Joel Embiid, get better for the love of all that is holy. And that's all I got. That's ball, folks.